The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to another Mission Minded. You're watching us right here on the Tony Curry YouTube channel. On the left side, of course, is Michael Coleman, is the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank, HAFB.org, or hashtag HAFB. Does fantastic work down there. And of course, you can check us out wherever you get your favorite podcast. We're available on every major indice, and we really love it when you listen to TKR. Get that TKR app no matter where you're watching or listening, and you can check out our show at least 5 days a week. It's followed up by Bite by Bite, which is a show specific to Feeding America and, of course, food banks. Michael, how you doing, brother? Everything going good?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. Excited to be here and talking with you, as always.
You brought up a very interesting perspective, and I love this because I know you live your life and you use this perspective to talk about show ideas, about how two or more perspectives could be true, but seem like they're coming from two totally different sides of the room, or how those perspectives work. Explain to me a little bit what you're talking about here.
Yeah, so I mean, this is something that I've dealt with a lot, and it's funny. Lots of times I'll just be reading about things, and I'm like, oh, I've lived this for, you know, over and over. And so what happens when you have conflicting perspectives? And it's interesting sometimes, because if there's been times to where I have a perspective and somebody else has a different perspective, and you're both saying what you saw, and you're interpreting what you see, but you're telling two different stories. And so people will be like, well, somebody's lying. Mm-hmm. You ever had a brother and sister fighting, and they come to you as a parent and they're like, well, this happened. No, wait a minute. That's two completely different stories. Somebody's lying. Now, in that case, lots of times somebody is lying. But is it possible to have two different perspectives and both be telling the truth? And what I found was, especially when I would be the moderator in that group, and I could say, okay, you tell me your story, and then you tell me your story. And on the surface, the facts seem different. You're like, well, you can't have dueling facts. But what's so interesting is how do those facts come about? Is different. How do two people who are both being honest look at the same event and speak about it differently, much differently? And so as I was looking through that, it's just, if you think about even siblings in the same household can grow up with a different experience. Mm-hmm. An older sibling is, like I used to tell my daughter all the time, I said, you are a guinea pig. We were learning how to be parents. There were lots of mistakes I made that I made on you that your little sister did not have to endure. We were much more strict at first with my oldest than we were the youngest. It tends to get more lax as a parent, keep having children. You're like, I don't care. Just whatever, you know, by the time, and you want to be the perfect parent on the earth. But if you think about it, our experiences are different. So how we interpret an event, or how we interpret what happened, can be vastly different depending on what our own frame of mind is. Are we somebody who's very emotional? Are we somebody who's just the facts and kind of withdrawn and just unemotional? Just, well, no, this is the facts, this is what happened. And again, that can play into it. And people can just not only see things different, but have different reactions. When I see something, sometimes the older I get, I find this more and more true. I cannot stand to see animals suffer. Mm-hmm. And I know animals are killed. I know we produce meat, all that kind of stuff, and I want to do that as humanely as possible. But when I see an animal, it's just an innocent animal just sitting there suffering. Oh, it just moves me so deep to just want to do it deeply. And then other people are like, I have a buddy who castrates bulls all the time. No thinking about it, you know?
Yeah.
And so again, it's just different. So you take all those kind of things. So you have this emotion in it. You have your experience, how I'm going to interpret it. And we create a lens The real danger, though, is when that lens gets fixated or gets fixed, I should say, at age, let's say, 30. And so what happens over time is that wisdom comes about, more experience, more exposure to different things. You hope your lens continues to modify to match your life experiences. But oftentimes we see where people just get locked in, and this is my perspective and it's the right perspective. And people will go down to the mat fighting over their perspective. And they don't leave room for other people's views. They don't leave room for that. Well, this person is just as passionate about what they saw, even though it's different than yours. And it can, in a home or in a work environment, it can cause such chaos and tension and just totally destroy a work culture and a work environment. It makes it not just miserable for those two, but for everybody else involved.
We've actually talked about this on some previous shows. This is deep. This is really good, though. But when you've dug your heels in on something that you've believed in your entire life, and then you finally decide to debate and then look at it from a different perspective, and you start seeing the other side, it is incredibly liberating. It doesn't mean you have to believe that other side, but if you're right, actually wanting to understand it. So let's say the whole idea, and we've had two major things just happen in the last few days that I don't see anyone thinking that we are going to find common ground. That, of course, is the UAW and the Ford strike. And it looks like they've gotten that. They were so far apart and somehow they're together. I guess it takes a rock bottom to a point where some of the workers were actually saying, listen, I want to go back to work. I've had enough of this. The other thing was the Speaker of the House. I don't think anyone thought they were ever going to find a Speaker of the House. They find this Johnson guy who no one even knew, and all of a sudden we have ourselves a Speaker. So talk about a little bit about what's the best way to find common ground with someone that has a totally different perspective than you do, but you're kind of on the same point, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so, and I'll even introduce a third variable that's in the modern news right now, or current news, I should say, and that's what's going on with Israel and Gaza. Mm-hmm. Now, just personally, I lean towards favoring Israel.
Yes, sir.
For a whole host of reasons. It just aligns with my values. But so take Hamas as a terrorist organization. Let's just remove them for a second and look at the Palestinian people. And when you listen to that, like right now, there is Palestinian suffering. Now, you know, Israel comes back and says, well, Palestinians do have fuel. You say your hospitals are going to be shut down. Well, you do have fuel. As a matter of fact, Hamas has 500,000 gallons of fuel. But they won't take care of their own people because they're saving it for conflict. Mm-hmm. And so you could go into it and you could say, well, I favor Israel, therefore everything Israel does is right. You see that in politics.
Yes.
This is my candidate. I'm a Republican. Everything Republicans do. I'm a Democrat. Everything Democrats. That means I've got to endorse everything a Democrat does. Rather than sitting back and going, okay, let's look at, yes, what happened to Israel was atrocious. I mean, just it's unspeakable, the atrocities that happened. And they're in a very difficult situation where they're surrounded by enemies. And it's about their very survival. So do they have a right to go in and go to war? My personal opinion is yes. These are people that are trying to take them off the face of the earth. And so I could stop right there and say, therefore, whatever they do is justified. But I don't want to get hardened on the perspective, because why? Because Palestinians, again, not Hamas, Palestinians are people. Those are mothers. That's somebody's mother. That's somebody's child. They're in a situation that's very difficult. They have little control over their life. They have little control of the resources. So I don't want to become hardened and favor one group of people towards another. And so let's say you get, and you see it on news all the time. Here's somebody that's pro-Israel. Here's somebody that's pro it's difficult to say pro-Hamas, but pro-Palestinian.
Sure.
And they get on the news with two different perspectives, and there's like no common ground. And you see that, and it's almost like, and with our Democrat and Republican thing, it's almost like you're forced to pick a side, but whatever side you pick, you've got to endorse everything about it. And that's how our culture is. So you just bring that down to a micro level in the workforce with one-on-one. It's like, well, here's my opinion. This is who I am. And you either have to accept it or we don't have to be friends. You know, like we're going to be enemies or we're going to be friends. Like we have to agree on everything. But as I get older, that's not life. There's no two people, I don't believe. If you take in all their religious views, if you take in all their social views, if you take in all their parenting views, everything, all the sociological categories, that two people are going to agree on every single thing perfectly. It just depends on what the issues. You're going to have disagreements. And I think what's incumbent is we say, all right, how do we navigate that in a way that gets the best result? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, first of all, you gotta have it. You gotta have that desire. You gotta want to have reconciliation. And there's some people out there that just they'll tell you, I don't give a damn whether you like me or agree with me or anything else. I have my view and forget you. But for those who want some of the things I've gone through that's in this piece that I read was so true to me. And one of that is practice active listening. And people have heard that all the time, but it's so true. That when you start off and you're both presenting your side of what happened, then you get animated and then you start arguing. Now somebody's talking and you're just leaning forward, just waiting for them to take a breath so you can jump in to counter their point. And so there have been times where I'm like, nope, I need to just shut down my mind and say, I really want to understand where they're coming from. And when I've done that, oftentimes my perspective, that lens I've talked about, now gets changed because I'm listening to learn.
Yes.
I'm not listening to argue and fight. I'm listening because, and then I say, oh, I understand why when I said this, they took it racially or they took it as an insult, because in their neighborhood growing up, this word was offensive.
Yeah.
But I didn't mean it that way. But if I don't shut my own mouth for 5 seconds and say, okay, help me understand what you're seeing. You have a perspective. I'm acknowledging that. I don't get your perspective, but I'm open to trying to see the world through your eyes. So I'm going to be quiet and you just speak. And I just want to listen. I don't want to calculate an argument.
Sometimes by allowing that person to speak, they will actually get a different perspective in their brains as well. If you elect, because sometimes no one's allowed them to speak their mind fully. And I'm not saying they'll talk themselves into a corner or say something that they'll, but it'll make them think as well because they're hearing the words coming out of their own mouths, correct? I mean, just let them talk.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been in discussions with people before and I'm like, gone through that. It may not have worked itself out exactly like I'm describing, but bottom line is I'm listening. And then I said, and then what we found out was, I go, oh, I didn't understand that. And then I said, and so I did, if you were to take that out of the equation, you see what I said was not in target. And they're like, oh, now I get your perspective because I've removed the sensitive issue. And so you can find reconciliation and you can go forward now knowing that your perspective about your person is they're not just an idiot or they're trying to be argumentative. Mm-hmm. I said something or did something that provoked something that may not have provoked me, but provoke them based on what's happened to them in their life or whatever. So that's one thing, active listening. But the other thing I've found that's very true and very helpful is when you're relating is state of the facts. Now, if I've learned one thing about leading an organization is not everybody's going to work out in your organization. And if you truly are interested in being fair to somebody, you want to document what you're doing. And the reason for that is because you want to document that I gave, here's where I explained exactly what my expectations were. Here's where I explained this. And yes, that's a legal kind of a CYA kind of thing. But you want to make sure. I mean, I tell my directors when they come in right now, if they want to fire somebody, I'm like, okay, well, talk me through it. Show me your documentation. Not as a CYA, but out of fairness to the employee. Show me that you've trained them, that you've given them the opportunity to be successful before you do that. And when we document things, and I'm certainly guilty of this, I'm like, okay, I had an interaction with this person, and he was very moody, and he was just extra confrontational, you know? And so what I'm doing is, and I'm describing and really ascribing moods and motives and everything else. And when they come in, it's very subjective, because when they come in, they go, well, I thought we were just having a conversation. I came across as moody. So what you have to say is, we were having a conversation and one of the parties began to have an elevated voice. You're not describing bad moves. You're just describing the facts as to what happened.
Yeah.
But what it does is it keeps you from, because nothing frustrates me more than somebody to say, well, why are you so angry? And lots of times when even in the, if you bring this into the family relationship, my wife and I are arguing about something and I may just be like, I'm not really mad, but she's like, why are you yelling at me? Or why are you so angry? And then that, of course, that just makes me more angry and frustrated. So if you just stick to the facts as you see them, then you can, it's easier to find where the disconnect is and then begin to listen to each other about that. And I'll say also is a willingness to go deeper than surface level. And what I mean by that is when you're having a conversation, it helps to understand that it's human nature to get entrenched in your own views.
Yeah.
And so if you know that, then you have to know that it's a possibility that based on your experience, based on your interpretation, based on maybe what you want to happen, you're slanting things. It's at least a possibility. Wait a minute. I'm so convicted on my views, but it could be I've got this thing wrong. And so we've got to humble ourselves. And so we stick to the facts and we say it, but then we're also willing to go deeper and say, well, this is a sensitive topic for me. You know, you threw out a gay slang, for instance, and maybe I have somebody that I'm close to that's battling the whole issue of same-sex attraction. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm sensitive to it. You know, it could be anything like that. And maybe you use something and you were not even trying to be disparaging, but I interpreted it that way because I'm uber sensitive about this subject. So just understand, if you're going in there to say, well, I'm right and I'm here to prove you're right, that you're not, that's not a recipe for reconciliation. And that's ultimately what you want. You want peace, you want reconciliation. But then the last thing I'll say is this. Sometimes you just got to agree to disagree.
Yep.
You can go through it all and you just end up in two different places. And just this morning in my rotary, I was talking to a gentleman that I have all the respect for in the world. And I gave a perspective on something and he just came right out and said, well, I believe exactly the opposite of that. And if my initial reaction was defend, tell him why he's wrong. And I reeled my emotions in. And I was like, really? Well, that's kind of been my experience, but help me understand, you know, maybe there's something I'm missing. What do you see? What do you understand? And then I'm like, all right, Michael, shut your brain down. We're not here to argue. We're here to learn perspectives. And I did get more informed about this. It didn't ultimately change my mind, but us going deeper into it and understanding, and he had a perspective because it was about city politics and he had led the chamber for a full year here in Montgomery. So, hey, I didn't realize that he had an insider's perspective on some city government things. And I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe he does know more about this than I do. And but ultimately, I never let a disagreement about a topic interfere with, or try not to interfere with, how I feel about that person.
Yeah.
Because even though we're vastly different on any one particular issue, I still want to care about that person authentically and say, okay, I get it. We're there's no gray here. I'm black, he's white. Let's set it aside. But you know what? We agree on 97% of the things out there. And I know this person's good. So why destroy a friendship?
Exactly. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but this is maybe one thing that congressmen and senators and even lawyers are pretty good at. And that is to say that in a court of law, you'll see a lawyer on each side absolutely hammer each other. And then the next night you'll see them out having dinner together. And I'm like, how is that possible? And it makes you angry because you're like, you're having dinner with the enemy. And you see that particularly after senators or congressmen, they pass away, and then the other side will come out and say, you know, I didn't always agree with what they had to say. Right. I think that's why I probably say the Serenity Prayer about 75 times a day. Change the things I can. But they actually do see, and unfortunately, it's usually after they die where they actually start seeing some common ground. Do you have any other?
And this is a well-known story about Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill. Tip O'Neill, liberal senator from, I think, from Massachusetts, sort of from the Northeast. And here's Reagan coming in, a conservative. And they would battle each other tooth and nail, I mean, and fight and scrap and cuss and fuss and all that kind of stuff. But when the day was over, they go have a beer together.
Yeah.
And because they realized, and again, we've lost that in our political system where, yes, we're fighting for different things, and maybe we disagree on 80%. But I have stood with people again when I recognize that my view is imperfect. When I come to terms with that, it's so humbling to me because I recognize that's a 25-year-old Michael's reaction. I've got the world figured out; it's all black and white, and now I'm like, I'm fixing to be 58, and man, I finally know how much I don't know. And I have seen some of the greatest people that we may vote differently or see perspective, and this is really on both sides of the aisle, but are some of the most authentic, greatest community members, love their families, want the best for their families, are honest as the day is long, with, you know, the old proverbial give you the shirt off your back kind of thing on both sides of the aisle. But we may just disagree on a political issue, but it doesn't take away from their humanity and who they are. And I'm like, I want to be close with this person. So how do we navigate these differences? And it is ultimately, if you can't find understanding towards each other, you say, okay, we know what this is. We're just going to disagree on it, but I'm going to still love you as my friend or my brother or whatever it is. And that's just the way I've just decided I want to live my life.
And that's incredibly healthy. And I think a lot of people try to do that. They may disagree with someone's ideologies, but they love the human being. And I mean, ultimately, that's what we're all here to do, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
we really are.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'll even go as far as, neighbors. You know, just in my neighborhood, you know, you talk about relationships, but I mean, there's some things my neighbors do that I do not like, but you know, if they ever need me at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll be there for them. And I know they do the same thing for me. Talk just a little bit about just our neighbors, because it's close proximity, baby. And you want to know your neighbors, even the ones you don't really like a whole lot, those are the ones you probably need to keep a little closer.
Well, and I tell you, people know if you live in any subdivision, you live in any neighborhood. And I remember an old Seinfeld thing where he's talking about his parents who had moved down to Florida, lived in Del Boca Vista condominiums. And he was explaining to Lane, you don't understand it. These people live their whole lives so that they can move down and create these rules that they can just govern each other over. And my mother, for about 20 years, lived in Florida, in Panama City Beach, Florida, in the boardwalk condominiums. And her whole day was obsessed about, oh, well, you can't leave your flip-flops here in front of the pool, or you can't leave this. I mean, it was all about the rules. So I identified, and I was just like, neighbors. And there's I love true crime shows. And there's a whole thing about nightmare neighbors, where people are murdered because the property line is 6 inches. And I thought to myself, really? I mean, I get it. 6 inches, they built a fence over your property line. But am I going to pull out a gun and end somebody's life because they took 6 inches of property? It's crazy. But if we would all just work towards, hey, I have a view. It's okay to have a view. It's okay to stand for your view. But don't be afraid to navigate this realm of, why do I have that view? Is it a perfect view, or do I still have some shaping to do in this area? And, you know, I'm black and white on very few things in my life. One of it is I'm very convicted of my faith in God's existence and His sovereignty.
Amen.
In my faith with Christ, all that kind of stuff. Those are things that I'm uncompromising on. Pretty much everything else, I'm willing to sit down and have a conversation and say, and look at, maybe I am wrong in that.
There you go. And thanks for our conversation today. Mission Minded, you can hear at least 5 days a week right here on the TKR app. And of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast. And we love when you're watching. Our numbers are great here on our YouTube channel, the Tony Curry Radio YouTube channel, where you can check out all of our 14 shows. Until next week, my friend, thank you so much. We'll talk to you on Mission Minded.
Enjoyed it. Yeah, enjoyed it as always.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.